This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, we are with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin. Layla and I work together on a daily basis, seeing patients. Every patient who sees me gets a nutritional consult. However, there is a pathway for you to partake of the benefits of the Hoffman Center. Without physically coming to the Hoffman Center to see me, you can also become a patient of Layla's. Layla offers her services to patients all over the country and across the world via drhoffman.com. You can find out how you can become a patient. And as they say, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor and work with Layla to work specifically on nutritional support for whatever condition you're challenged with. Or if you're just interested in optimizing your vitamin supplement regimen, she's ready to meet your needs. All right, so let's take a look at some of the rest of the questions. And
yeah.
we have one on lecithin.
Right. Larry writes, "Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, my mom back in the 60s used lecithin. I never hear you mention it, so I figure it must be passé. Can you describe how it works? And I currently have sunflower lecithin."
Well, lecithin is a little bit passé because it was highly touted as something that could prevent cardiovascular disease. And most of the studies done on lecithin are old studies, and there's not a lot of new studies that suggest it's beneficial for cardiovascular protection.
Mm-hmm.
However, a derivative of lecithin, a specific purified derivative, is called phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that can act as a precursor for acetylcholine in the brain, thus mm-hmm. might have some benefit in terms of cognition. Also, there are products like NT factor, which are phospholipids,
uh-huh.
which are tailored to support membrane health.
Mm-hmm.
And membrane health is crucial to the functioning of the cells and the mitochondria, and therefore NT factor has anti-aging and energy-enhancing effects.
Mm-hmm.
So we're believers in NT factor. I've been a strong believer in NT factor for a long time.
Yeah.
And
product.
But it's not just lecithin. Lecithin is kind of a cheap commodity, and the more there's additional levels of purification that go into NT factor, and also phosphatidylcholine.
Mm-hmm. All right. So no, Larry, it's not really passé, but no longer looking for a supplement called lecithin.
Right.
But phosphatidylcholine. Okay.
It's all in all the diet books from the 1960s and 70s, a lot about lecithin. Here's another problem with lecithin is that for people trying to avoid soy, it is mostly soy-derived, although he says his is sunflower-derived, which
right.
is interesting.
Right. And the lecithin is more the fat than the protein. Typically, it's the protein in a food that may be problematic.
So exactly. Exactly. So purified, it's less likely to cause allergies.
Right.
It also is less likely to have a hormonal effect.
Mm.
So if you're concerned, oh, you've had breast cancer, and you say, oh, my goodness, it's a hormonal effect, which, by the way, is negligible from soy. You don't be fearful, you know, if your product has some element of soy in it.
Mm. That's right, and especially a supplement. It's not the same as eating
right.
stir-fried tofu or yeah. drinking glasses of soy milk.
I think people get a little nuts about soy. They're like very
yeah.
over the top, and there's sort of like soy phobia,
mm-hmm.
you know. And okay, so maybe you choose not to eat a lot of soy, but if a supplement is, say, a vitamin E comes from a soy
right.
Source, or a
CoQ10 or something
like that. Or curcumin is in a phytosome that is a soy-derived
mm-hmm.
phytosome. By the way, Mariva, I think they changed the encapsulation of the phytosome so that it's not soy anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's what they did with, well, one of the products. I think it's Mariva.
So a lot of nutraceuticals are responding to.
Yeah, it's a market thing, and I'm not sure if it's significant. It's just the perception, I think, is more than the reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We hope that answers your question, Larry. We've got an email from Rick. Oh, what an interesting question. Is there a medical term for catching your breath? It feels so good, but what physically occurs?
Well, it's interesting. Is there a medical term for it?
You're like the answer man for for all of these kinds of questions.
Okay, let's tackle that question. Okay. You know, it's interesting. Just a little aside.
Mm-hmm.
The whole genre of the call-in show.
Uh-huh.
You know, this idea that you can call a show and, you know, talk to a doctor or talk to a nutritionist, just like Carlton Fredericks was a pioneer. You know, people would call in and he would answer their questions.
Yeah.
Actually, it all dates back to a show that I think started on radio in the 1930s and the 1940s. So it got to be really old to remember this. Before my time. It's called The Answer Man.
Oh.
And The Answer Man would just, you know, nowadays, you've got Google.
Right, Google's the new answer man.
But it used to be you had to write into the answer man, or perhaps call into the answer man. And the answer man was like a genius. He knew everything. Maybe there was a little sleight of hand. Maybe he got tipped off as the questions in advance.
Right.
But so that whole genre, which actually I'm following in the tradition of, is based on some guy, you know, in the 30s who pioneered this. So the answer to that is, we're talking about a sigh or a catch in the breath,
yes, right? Catching your breath.
There's actually a medical condition called Ondine's curse, which is a condition where it's a very terrible condition where you actually lose the automatic ability to breathe, because we don't think about breathing yet.
Right.
We're breathing, you know, thousands of times a day.
It's
involuntary. But some people have some terrible glitch in their involuntary nervous system where they actually have to consciously breathe, and it's a terrible condition.
Oh, wow.
It's actually, Ondine was a mortal, if I'm not mistaken with my Greek mythology, who made the terrible mistake of lusting after one of Zeus's wives or girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
And his punishment was, he wasn't killed, but he was given this curse where he had to voluntarily breathe for the rest of his life. It was a terrible punishment for dissing the god. And so they used the mythological name Ondine to describe this. So that being said, there's some people who have a form of this where they don't always have to breathe voluntarily, but they have a lot of sighing.
Mm.
And that has to do with some kind of imbalance in the brain.
Mm.
That it doesn't properly align with the oxygen and carbon dioxide signals, so that quite often you have to, or you get the sensation in your chest of like a shortness of breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sensation, you know, and it is associated with anxiety, creates anxiety.
Yeah.
It is very much associated with magnesium deficiency. I actually asked that question. Magnesium can be helpful for that. Now, as I look up this subject here, I'm looking up on the trusty internet here, and of course the page is frozen, so it's hard for me to see it. But there's a article from Nature, which is one of the wonkiest science journals around, and what they say is that there are a small collection of neurons in the brain stem. The brain stem is the part of the brain that's associated with the most primitive functions, like breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, higher up in the brain, it's like thinking and, you know, cognition and memory.
Mm-hmm.
But breathing is pretty basic to very primitive animals. Very small collection of neurons in the brain stem produce certain neuropeptides. And these are the ones that are sort of the pacemakers for our breathing rate. And they actually do a reset periodically, which is the sigh.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
which you kind of go, huh. You know, and that's kind of a nice sensation sometimes, you know, to do a sigh. Or, you know, perhaps there's
a yawn ever? Or
well, a yawn may be related to that phenomenon. So, you know, So I just lost the page. But anyway, so there's a wonky scientific explanation for why, you know, people sigh.
Mm-hmm.
And
fascinating.
Yeah. And so what that may do, this discovery of this, the practical impact, is that it might have some implications for people who have these rare but very, very debilitating disorders.
Wow.
Is that there may be a way to kind of fix that.
Imagine if you had to think about all of your bodily processes in order for them to work.
Yeah.
We'd all have to be biochemists and doctors. And,
well, yeah, that'd be like, that'd be as if your body was like some, like flying a 747 plane or something. Mm. You know, you just have to pay attention to everything. And, you know, that'd be a white knuckle ride for sure.
Yeah. Well, Rick, thank you very much for your email and,
yeah, very thought-provoking.
We have an email from Darla. She's 68 years old. She takes 60 milligrams a day of Armour Thyroid. And she says, after hearing your broadcast, when you commented on Hillary Clinton taking Armour Thyroid, I'm wondering if there's anything more natural, a more natural prescription that I could take, because I'm having trouble getting Armour Thyroid here in America, and I'm having to get it from Canada.
What? No, it's available in America. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is that if you're past a certain age, Medicare won't cover it.
Ah, she's 68.
Right, so Medicare won't cover it. And the reason Medicare won't cover it is that they, you know, they're looking for every reason to get discourage people from taking natural thyroid. Mm. But especially their concern is that people who are older might be a little more sensitive to cardiac arrhythmias. Now, Hillary Clinton is 68 years old.
Mm.
And
right.
She's on Medicare.
Yeah.
I bet she has a pretty good supplemental insurance, though, too.
Yeah.
So, and she has a few discretionary funds of her own, perhaps. And so, you think?
Yeah.
Right. And so she can get whatever she wants.
Bring me my Armour Thyroid.
But it's of interest that she's taking a therapy that the U.S. government discourages.
Yeah.
Which might open her up.
Because it's compounded.
It's compounded. Well, it is actually not compounded. Compounded means you go to a compounding pharmacy. It is available at regular drugstores,
okay.
But it is natural. It's bioidentical and natural.
Okay.
It's derived from pork thyroid. So, you know, I recently was interviewed for an article about Hillary Clinton's health. And I suspect the journalist had an agenda from a somewhat right-wing publication to impugn Hillary Clinton's health. But there is some element of truth to what he's saying, is that Hillary Clinton is not entirely in perfect health. She has some health issues. She is on Armour Thyroid, and she's also on Coumadin, which is a blood thinner.
Oh.
And that's sometimes a little bit of a tricky combination because
she had a
fall, and then she had a blood clot, and they think that she's at high risk for subsequent blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I was simply pointing out is that she, I'm not saying in any way that she's unfit for office, because, Dwight Eisenhower, although things were much less divulged in those days, within a few years of assuming the presidency in 1955, he experienced a heart attack and went on to have a two-term presidency and only died in 1969.
Wow.
So, you know, we have a history of presidents who have had precarious health and advanced age. We had Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who had blood pressure that was astronomically high and was, you know, really at high risk for dying. And finally, he did die in office. In my article, I did not want to discourage older patients from taking Armour Thyroid. You just have to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the ways to reduce the risk of having palpitations when you're on Armour Thyroid is instead of taking it all at once, you divide it up into two or three doses. And I have one patient who insists that she really feels great, and the only way she can avoid her palpitations is to divide her Armour Thyroid into four doses every day. I've never met anyone in my 30-plus years of practice who is willing to take a medication four times a day religiously, away from food, too.
Away from food, very important.
But she's so enamored of the benefits that she has. And when she says she takes it all at once, she gets palpitations.
Yeah.
But when she divides the dose, she gets a little bit, and the little bit of stimulation that you get She's taking, I think, 60, but she takes 15, 15, and 15. And she says that she's palpitation-free when she does that.
Wow. Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you're willing to do that, very few people are willing to do that, you know, but...
Do you think Hillary Clinton is more prone to blood clots because of her time as Secretary of State and being on a plane?
Well, that's certainly a risk factor for that because, right. you can get what's termed DBT. Economy class syndrome, you know, which is that you stasis, you know, you're sitting for long periods of time, and that is...
Although I imagine on her jet she'd be able to walk around.
On her jet, yeah. She's not in economy class.
She's not in economy class.
But, however, you know, you could say that the wear and tear of the time change and all that, because she did like a million miles. That's not great. And especially older individuals have a little more trouble adapting to those types of changes. I think perhaps I don't know if you do a lot of jet travel, but it used to be nothing for me to go coast to coast or go to Europe and very quick adaptation. I think I'm in good physical condition, but I got to say that the ability to snap back in terms of your circadian rhythms is a little bit more challenged as you get older. So I would, you know, like, and there's a lot of people who are like road warriors when they're 20s and 30s, and I see patients like that.
We all are in our 20s and 30s.
And I say to them, you know, maybe that sales job, maybe you could just work in the regional office and, you know, don't, you know, get the younger people to go out on the road. They'll pay their dues.
Yeah.
And, you know, because constantly changing your circadian rhythm has a harmful effect on your cortisol.
It does. Yeah.
It has a harmful effect on your body in general. Mm-hmm. Could that thicken your blood? Could it predispose to strokes or blood clots?
Yeah.
Who knows? And, you know, look, being a politician, it ain't easy because it's constant, you know, stress. You're under attack, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, why anyone would want to do that? I mean, people have actually said that this presidential election, the quality of the candidates is not good because what balanced individual would subject themselves and their families to that kind of stress, really?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And oftentimes they're often older people.
Well, you know,
with the exception of people like JFK or Obama.
I think Trump is 69 or something
that. They're all
and Bernie Sanders is 74.
Yeah.
74. Yo, go Bernie, you know, but, and I don't think people, you know, I'm not that cognizant of that. It's like, you know, I hope that I'm going to be very active and very, capable when I'm well into my 70s and 80s, but I'm not sure I would want to run a country.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's really something. Anyway, Hillary should take ashwagandha, at least. Anyway. Getting back to Darla, yeah, I guess then it's the Medicare thing. Medicare is not covering her arm or thyroid
and
so forth, but there isn't a natural supplement.
You know, and there's been actually, like getting back to politics, Trump has a part of his policy, you know, he makes these pronouncements. He says that we ought to allow importation of drugs from other countries because it's going to really reduce our drug bills and, you know,
the
cost of medicine and blah, blah,
industry.
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now, however, that may not be such a good idea. I think that the medications that you get from Canada are probably pretty well regulated, but there's a very high percentage of adulteration and poor quality of medications that come from overseas.
Yes.
And so, you know, look, on the one hand, we're protecting the sinecure of the American drug makers who charge much more in the United States than they do anywhere else in the world. But, to open up the floodgates to foreign drugs, I'm not sure if it's such a great idea. Because we have to test each and every one of them for quality control and, you know.
That would be expensive,
too.
All right. Darla, thank you for your question.
Do we have anything that's kind of a quick question?
A quick question from John. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm currently taking aged garlic extract as part of a cardiovascular health regimen. I'm also taking a probiotic for maintenance of both digestive and overall health. I've read that garlic has antibacterial action. So is it counterproductive to take these two supplements at the same time?
It's interesting. You know, will you kill your probiotic if you take your chiolic aged garlic extract at the same time? And the answer is nobody knows precisely. And so I don't generally do this because I do take a probiotic and I take chiolic in the same batch at the same time. And I do so when I eat food. And when I eat food, I figure that the food is sort of an insulator or a buffer, so that the physically those two capsules are not sitting in close proximity after I swallow them. They're all mixed together with food.
And
they're not going to act on one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's a practical concern. But in an abundance of caution, one might separate those out.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is for sure, if you're taking... Here's where it really matters. Often people say, well, I need to take a probiotic because I'm taking an antibiotic.
Yes.
So they pop the antibiotic with the probiotic to counter. No.
Right.
The antibiotic is much stronger as a killer of bacteria than aged garlic extract. And you might really diminish the effectiveness of your probiotic. So you want to alternate.
And there has to be at least 2 hours distance between an antibiotic and a probiotic.
Yeah. Yeah, to get the full benefit of the probiotic.
Yeah.
It's not going to harm the antibiotic. It's not going to diminish the efficacy of the antibiotic, but it will have a killing effect on the probiotic.
Yeah.
So.
Terrific question, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very astute audience. We thank you for your questions. We also want to remind you that we have surpassed a wonderful milestone. We thank you for listening to our Intelligent Medicine podcast. We have over 2 million downloads, and at the rate that it's increasing, 3 million can't be too far away, because we had 130,000 downloads last month.
Wow.
And that,
in a month.
Yeah, in a month. So, well, that would mean, another 1.3 million in just the next 10 months at this rate. So, people are listening. People are enjoying it. I'm particularly gratified when I hear people, you know, in far-flung places across the world are listening to it, or when some of our seniors are listening to it, patients, individuals in their 80s and 90s sometimes.
And people in prison.
God bless. You know, let's make constructive use of our time.
Yeah.
The rigors of prison are such, and the poor diet really require that people antidote themselves in some way. So taking supplements is not a bad idea. I've had individuals who are in combat situations in Afghanistan who we've worked with who are under tremendous stress, and the food quality is very poor, and they have taken supplementation. You know, for example, it's very hard to get fresh fish in Afghanistan. So they take omega-3 fatty acids, they take anti-stress supplements, they take probiotics, you know, because of the strange bugs over there. And, you know, when you're under stress, it's not a bad idea to take supplements, because you can only control what you can control. Some elements in your environment, the diet, the external stressors are what they are, but supplements can be a bulwark against these harmful effects. So thank you very much for listening. Keep listening.
Yes.
We've got some great podcasts recently, and we'll do this again next week. Please send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll be here to answer them.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.